Blog Talk Radio.
Boss Lady Publishing.
Hey, Miss Leisha. Happy Thursday. How are things?
Things are good. Things are good.
Okay.
Hey, hello?
Yeah, we're all here.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, Miss Tony. How you doing?
I am doing good this Thursday evening. How about everybody else?
Oh, I'm well. I'm just into this right, and I'm just engulfed. I'm just,
well, good evening.
Hey,
I think Blog Talk is having some problems.
Just getting ready to say that we got a message that says Direct Connect is temporarily out of order. Please use Skype or dial your host dial-in number to host yourself. So maybe we'll be okay, but just in the event
we'll be right back in
live action. All of a sudden, we'll just make sure we kick it back in. If we drop out.
Well, we'd be straight with the clubhouse. They don't be messing with the clubhouse. Tonight is our special edition. Yes, we have Thursday night special edition. We are talking about reckless sex. People are really going overboard these days. You're seeing videos, articles, there's all kinds of things. We're going to get into all kinds of subjects, you know, if this new freedom, this new sexual freedom, has it become reckless, or, you know, should it be no holds barred, just go for what you know. We're going to talk about all this. We have WCP author in the house tonight. He'll be in the clubhouse. Rumont, author of Venom in My Veins. And then we have Nicole Jackson, G Street Chronicles author. She will be on here tonight as well. So we're going to have a jumping in the clubhouse. What's going on, Aaron? I saw your little plate of food. Was it good?
Yeah, man. I'm full, feeling good. It's like, you know, just chilling.
You're not going down to the green room, are you, tonight?
I may stroll down. I seen the chick down there. She got some 38Ds.
Oh, my God.
I'm not really a breast man, but it might have been the shirt. It might have been the shirt.
Oh, God. Leisha, I have asked you to do a better screening of the people who work down in the green room, but
I don't know. I put it on Tony's desk. Maybe she came in with a Bible and Tony thought she was all right, and she had a change of clothes in her book bag or something. I don't know where she came from.
She was an undercover.
Undercover on the down low.
Mm. Okay. We guys got to stop. I'm going to have to go down there. But not right now, because I really can't say nothing. I dipped off last night, so.
That's that recklessness coming out.
Yeah, it gets reckless out the gray room. It gets reckless in the gray room.
It is. Yes, it is. Well, once again, we'd like to welcome you to our Thursday night edition of Ryan Walsh Radio. My name is Tony, and I'm going to pay the fees to pay some bills without my boss telling me to. Because I'm trying to get an A for tonight.
Yes.
Once again, my name is Tony, and I am an avid reader. I love everything associated with the word. And here at Right and Royalty, that is one of our key important facts, reading. Right and Royalty Radio is dedicated to joining authors and readers together, creating a community of reading and writing greatness. Now, my two co-hosts here, they are bona fide five-star authors. Nene Capri has some blazing material that you need to get into your library. She has the T-Trap 1, 2, and 3, and she is presently working on 4. That's why she is always so into, who knows, when she comes on, she's just maintaining, trying to get that out to us, readers, and we can't wait for it to drop. In addition to the T-Trap, she has the Trust No Peace series 1, 2, and 3, and she actually shares that, and she wrote it with the one and only Cash Street Lit author. Now, I just got to get to Dreamweaver, her latest 5-star, or better yet, her 10-star. I see I'm not the only one that got caught up in Dream. You know, I was reading earlier my cat sister, Tanisha.
Mm-hmm.
That was that. She was a little upset about the way Dream, I'm not going to give it away, but about Dream also, and I gotta agree with her. Nene just slipped one in there for us, and I'm still not over it, Nene. I just want you to know.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
And,
I'm sorry.
I'm still not over it.
That's what they pay me to do, you know, down there to G Street and stuff. They be like, Nene, this is what we need out of you. This is what we need. So I just try to deliver.
Yes,
Brad takes time and says we need a book, too.
Yes, you said it. You said
look,
it.
We pulled out the ticket signs from under our desk. We need us in front of Ryan Royalty Radio.
There'll be no picking it. We are not. No, absolutely not. They were not running any type of picketing type situations around here.
We're going to be at the picket line, Alicia.
Aaron,
yes.
Speak to the people. Speak to them, Aaron. Go ahead. Tell me what Aaron got. Maybe y'all won't feel like rioting because Aaron got something hot, too. So maybe y'all calm down. Y'all won't feel like protesting.
Some more hot releases from Miss Nene. She has Tainted last year. That we're actually getting the part to that because she's busy pinning that as we speak. And that's another one. But she left us with some cliffhangers. You know, so you got to get that in your library. Now, Mr. Debo, he may be over there too, spitting some fire, but he's got some out that you can cop right now. The Last Dawn. See, like I told you earlier on Facebook, there's a message in between those lines that you delivered. That was a good, great read.
It may not be meant to be funny. I said, it may not be meant to be funny, but I've been laughing.
I still can't get over meatball.
Oh, thank you.
I can't. And that cover, I can't.
Oh,
but
man.
You know, Alicia, Bebo was dropping some stuff that had me kind of thinking about it, the way some authors may feel about us readers that are behind the walls. So I was kind of side-eyeing some. I'm not going to throw any names out there, but he gives you some material that you need to think about.
Oh.
Y'all need to cop that last song.
Yes.
The writers behind the wall, how they may
no,
be thinking.
The
you know, hey, nah. Hey, I get it. You never know.
Man, y'all got to get that and hear about what I'm talking about. Please, that's another 5-star. And he also has the Rat Hunters, which was my initial read from Mr. Beatball, and I really enjoyed that. Change for $1. Don't know if it's still 99 cents, but jump over to Amazon to find out. And one of the classics that changed literary history till my cast drops. And also under the G Street Chronicles, he has I Used to Love Her. That was my all-time classic hip-hop favorite, and he's one of the things that he's busy pinning his part, too, and I'm loving the snippets that you've been giving to us, Bebo. Now, those are just some of the hot titles from my two co-hosts. And to keep up with everything Writer Royalty, just go over to Writer Royalty Radio, blogspot.com. And I have a little public service announcement to all our listeners that love a good street lit book. There's a new book that everybody's going to be talking about called Love Don't Love Nobody by Sweet Pea. And I believe she's going to be on the show tomorrow. It's a sexy and gritty piece that you want to get into your library. It was just released, and it's on sale for 99 cents on Amazon. And I want you to go over to check out Author Sweet Pea's Facebook page because she's actually giving away a tablet to 2 lucky readers. The readers will be announced, so make sure you go over to her page and look for her posted flyer so that you can get all the details. And good luck to everybody. And don't forget the one click, Love Don't Love Nobody by Author Sweet Pea. And with that, I'm going to kick it over to my wonderful co-host, Miss Leisha. What you got going on, girl?
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, when you guys, the instructions are on the flyer, and it's just simply you download your copy of Love Don't Love Nobody. The second step is to buy a copy for a friend or a family member as a gift. You just need their email address. And then the third is to type done in the comment box under the flyer. And you will be in the running for one of those tablets that she's given away.
All right,
so that's
all right,
going to be good.
That's going to be good. So what else is going on? What else do we have hot coming up? We're going to have Nene Capri and Aaron Bebo will be in Atlanta.
In Georgia.
So all my Atlanta listeners will be in Atlanta on September 27th. Leisha will be posting the address, time, and venue, and we will be there. And where else will I be? Nene Capri will also be in Texas. I'll be in Texas on October the 3rd
fourth.
And 4th. October 4th.
October the 4th. It's the meet and greet.
And look out for us because me and Aaron will be hitting the West Coast. So be looking out for dates for that. We'll be hitting the West. So definitely keep your eyes peeled. We will be coming to the readers. If you want us in your town, please hit us up. So we can know where you are, see what you have jumping in your town. Hit up Leisha Sadler at what? Where do you want to be hit at, Leisha?
Oh, it don't matter. I'm down for whatever. I'm just kidding.
She said, however y'all need to get to her to get to
being
us.
Being reckless. Hey, everybody else being reckless. I'm about to be reckless, too. It don't matter. I've got to say different, though. I'm going to say hit me up on writingroyaltyradio.com. I want you guys to hit that guest box.
All right. Writingroyaltyradio.com. All right. So go ahead, Aaron Bebo. Just get it kicked off for us. We talk about reckless sex this evening. What do you have to contribute before we get our guests in here and they start, you know, talking in the clubhouse? What are you thinking?
I don't got no reckless sex stories. Like,
oh,
I mean, I see it.
Aaron Bebo, I'm going to need you not to tell stories on the air before Sunday.
Nah, I see it, but, like, I'm not even a reckless person like that. You know what I mean? Like, that's not even, period. Like, I always had a love for me.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Like, I be seeing now some of the things that's going on with some of these people. It's just out of control. Like, the video that they said was going around with the dude, giving the other dude top with the chick there, and, you know, he's like, yo, I'm into freaky things. So that's, to me, that's reckless sex, though.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
Absolutely. It's a video going around Facebook where the guy was doing it to a cow.
Yes.
What?
A pig. It was
a
pig.
Said, what type of man? A pig. That was a pig. Pig cow was ridiculous.
An Asian kid looked like he was at some farm out west, and he was just going from one to the next one. I was like, God bless you. Lord have mercy. Poor little pig just minding his little business.
Wow.
There he comes.
You a
man. With his shenanigans. You know what I'm saying? So it was just hard. I was like, if people are posting this stuff, it's just terrible. But you're seeing a lot of, you know, reckless things. I saw another video they had on Facebook, a guy and a girl, they were just getting it in, like, right in the parking lot, right on top of the car. Like, the friend, they were so in it, the friend was, like, walking up on them filming it. They didn't even peep it until he was, like, right up on them. And then she's going to act embarrassed. Why are you acting embarrassed? Are you embarrassed because he's filming it, or you're embarrassed because other people are going, no, like, you can't possibly be embarrassed because you're doing it because you clearly know you're outside in the middle of a parking lot on top of a car at night. So, listen.
Wow.
I'm like, hey, you know, is it the freedom? Like, yay, ho, you know? Or are people being reckless, you know? Like, is there anything sacred anymore? They got the young girls, you watching them, they're doing the all kinds of reckless sex, and the dudes is videotaping it. It's like seven or more lined up, they doing everybody, all kinds of shenanigans.
Yeah. I just seen something where it was a thing where a dude was talking about he let these dudes tape him. I guess he must have been a transvestite or something. Or transgender, transsexual, whatever, and let these guys tape them and all that. And he like, yeah, I let y'all tape me because I knew y'all was going to leak it, but all y'all just got done fucking a man.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm like, yeah. So I'm like, you know, like, it's really getting reckless out there right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. People just ain't being mindful of the things that they doing and following the wrong tools. And, you know, it's crazy.
Absolutely. And then not even that, there's a Columbia University student. She's actually, like, protesting with a mattress because she was, well, I want to say University of Toledo. Well,
oh, yeah,
she was raped.
Nah.
Yeah, she was raped.
I've seen
and
that.
They didn't, she wants him expelled. And they just gave him a small fine. But even with, you know, with rape, it's still reckless because you just snatching up any old girl. You don't know what's going on. You don't know what's going on. Has she been checked out? What's it checked out? Is it good? You don't know. So, therefore, you just doing whatever because you feel like it. But you never know what that person has, what they're going to give you. And you just going to have sex all willy-nilly with whoever. That's just ridiculousness. Not in this day and time with all these different things going around. You will get something that you can't get rid of.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know what? Nowadays, it's so many diseases going around. Like, people are just, like, living with it. You know what I'm saying? They just living with it. Like, you have a lot of young people who have a lot of disease. Like, I told you about that disease that was going around Philly, the blue waffle. And, you know, I used to counsel with the young girls. They used to come into my office. I had a office at the school. And I'm asking them about it. And when they answer the question, they answering it like I'm lame. Like, you don't know nothing about that. Yeah, like, everybody be getting it. You know what I'm saying? They said it like, you asking me something. Like, I was asking them, you know, had they seen the latest Jordans or something. It was like, huh, everybody know about that. Like, I'm like, you know, that's horrible because that's an STD definitely that hasn't been tended to. It done got way out of hand, you know, where you have deformities to the, you know, the private areas. And a lot of the teens is like running around like that. You got older cats messing with these young girls, and these young girls is running rampant with these other young boys who, you know, they with these what they call thots, and they running through them, the whole crew running through them. You know, they just passing stuff around. You know what I'm saying?
What is it called, Mimi?
Blue waffle.
Blue waffle.
That's crazy.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I've never heard of it.
Google it. Look at the pictures. Read the articles. It's terrible. And it's rampant amongst the teens.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's
and they're, like,
what I'm
passing it all around.
Like, these young cats don't care no more. Like, you got young girls now aspiring to be strippers.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, that's what they want to do. Like, they don't want to, you know, like, they ain't thinking like, yo, I'm stripping to get to school so I can get this law degree. They like, yo, I'm about to strip.
Mm-hmm.
like, period.
Well, make his money.
Like, yo, I'm about to strip and hire a lawyer when I get busted for selling this other stuff on the side. So,
wow.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. It really is.
It's definitely reckless. Like, again, with the youth, you know, I saw the most working in the public school systems. Like, they had girls they used to bring down because they used to go off for suspension because they done got busted on the cameras. You know, doing like blowing like four or five different dudes in the hallway, the school hallway, in between classes, But the thing is, the sad part, yeah, they call it, in Philly, they call it Chewies. Giving out Chewies. They're like, she gave me a Chewy. So this is what they do in between classes. Like, you know, they try to get out of the way of the camera, but the camera be catching them. But the girls, they be mad that they got busted. Like, they be cussing out, like, the security officers and everybody. No shame, no embarrassment. Like, they just go into a full defensive mode and, like, just start justifying, like, what they were doing. Like, that was something that was right. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just reckless. It's just reckless. Mm-hmm. Just straight reckless. You know, I'm like, wow, it's getting worse and worse because it's like, if you're not being sexual in this society, like, you're lame, you're square, you know what I'm saying? So you giving these types of options to people who have no real conscience of responsibility, and it's just getting out of hand, getting out of control. Aaron?
Yeah, man, I mean, it's just reckless. People don't care no more. And not only is they, like, they doing these things, they doing it unprotected. Like, it's just totally reckless at this point.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Mm-hmm. And the exploitation of it too is getting crazy because the internet makes it so easy to exploit it and make it look like it's proper.
Right.
So it's cool.
That's true.
You know. And I got mixed feelings on it because I think, you know, yeah, people should be able to have their freedoms or whatever, and, you know, be who they are, whatever it is. If they freaky or whatever, that's cool. But I think that it needs to be some type of guideline set. Like, when I was coming up, like, it was just certain things that if you went out and you had to go out and seek these things. Like, they weren't just right there in your face.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was a protective layer over certain things. And I think now that, you know, they desensitizing the youth so much that the innocence gets taken away and the kids are growing up without innocence, and without that, like, moralistic values be misplaced.
Mm-hmm. 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 I agree.
And that's so true. When I did my internship back in the winter, I know Nene was tired of hearing me fuss because I was fussing every day. So the IT department was, like, across from these lockers. And so these kids would be kissing every day in front of the lockers. Well, it just so happens that a little girl had to, and I'm going to say little girl because I want to say she was a sixth or seventh grader, and the boy might have been an eighth grader.
Mm-hmm.
And she sent him some naked pictures. Now, the thing with that is that the school issues the laptops. They have a laptop loan program so that the kids can always have access to homework or whatever resources that the teacher needs them to have. But the thing is, even if you erase something off your computer, it's retrievable. And so the boy put it on Instagram. So the girl sent it. She took the pictures. She saved it to the laptop. She sent it to him through her phone. I mean, it was ridiculous. He put it on Instagram, and it got back to the school. So what they did was they took her laptop, and they retrieved the pictures that she took.
Mm.
And she was kind of walking around mad when she came in there, and she was like, my name is, with straight attitude, and I wanted to say, I need you to go outside and give me a switch right now, because, see, tomorrow, he going to be the man for the next 30 days, but you're going to be a hoe for the next 2 years.
Uh-huh.
And you need to be.
Years. It's 2 years.
Uh-huh.
Now, with that attitude, you better try longer than that. And it's you know, because it's the thing now, let me tell you something. Now, it does, like, back in the days, you had these younger girls who were scared to be called hoes and all that. Like, that's almost become a term of endearment now.
Mm-hmm.
So,
not almost,
like, yeah, you doing that, you calling a girl a hoe, like, she like, oh, okay, well, I'm out doing my peers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at this point, you know, it's that ridiculous. You know, so her being the hoe for the next 2 years, you just told her she just got a passing grade.
Oh, shit.
For real, she like, yo, okay, I'm in. I'm in the in crowd now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when that behavior don't get stopped, it gets worse and worse because you know what? You got these kids out here pretending they grown. Then you have misguided grown folks.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
You have grown folks who can't decipher, like, yo, beat it. You a kid. You know what I mean? Like,
uh-huh.
You'll take off your older sister's shoes and your mother's makeup. You know what I mean? Like, you have
mm-hmm.
older people who can't decipher that. And
uh-huh.
and will, you know, just take advantage of a person. But you know, they'll try to make it seem like it's in the will of the person. Like it's by the person's will that they're doing these things.
Right.
You know what I mean? And you know, in actuality, it's like false advertisement. I can't say it's false advertisement, but it's definitely a vulture move, you know, for any adult, male or female, because you got women out there too turning out young males and young women. Like it's just seen on the news last night. A teacher or somebody, a lady, she was older. She raped this kid, a young kid. He's probably like 14, 15 at the time. And she ended up having a baby by him. And now, it's like 8-9 years later, like this kid's like 22 or something now. Now they're like, you got to pay child support.
Mm-hmm.
And not only do you got to pay child support, you got to pay the back child support.
Yeah.
So you owe... from when you was 15, so you owe us like 7 years of back child support, and then you got to pay child support.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And he was the victim in
mm-hmm.
this case. So it's like, it's crazy. So you having a whole bunch of misguided and misdirected things going on.
That's
crazy. And that's why you got to be grabbing the youth up and really letting them know what it is before somebody else grab them up. And show them something else.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And even that, you
got
to talk to them, too. You got to talk to your kids because you got teachers that are, this teacher sleeping with the kids thing is every time you turn around, it's increasing. It's happening often. My son entered the seventh grade, and when he was in the sixth grade, he had said something about he did something in class and he had to go and fix something. You know, I was with him because she told him to come before class. So we was both coming before class. I had to talk to him about that. And, you know, he like, yo, mom.
Yeah, let me tell you something about that.
I'm like, look, they take advantage of these kids, and they don't know.
You know why that's happening? Because they taking all the socialism out of education, out of the education setting, and out of society. Because you don't really have to socialize that much with anybody to get things done because it's mostly by a computer. You reach an automated operator most of the times when you call a business. You got to go through 1,000 different steps. And the last resort is you actually reaching someone at the business, you know, like a person. So the socialism is being taken out. And with that, these youths that are coming out, like I would love to call them, I always say it, future know-it-alls with no answers. Like, they know a bunch of stuff, but they don't know how it got to be. Like, they don't know. Like, they can't explain it. So they don't have any social skills, so they enter into these jobs. That's why you see these young hotheads. They don't have any experience with walking the beat no more and getting to know the people in the community that they're, you know, supervising. And then none of that stuff is happening no more. You know what I mean? In almost every field, there is absolutely no, like, management or build-up for the person coming into the field, whether it's authors or policemen, like, or songwriters or whatever. Like, the artists now have no artist development. You know, a lot of authors have no development. The police officers have not developed the degree of enough common sense to go out into a community now. Because you see most of these things that are taking place with officers is young cops, 30 or below. You know what I mean? Like, these cops are young. They're in the age range of, like, probably, like, between 35 and under.
And you know what, Aaron, when you talk about that, those are the children of the misguided adults that you're talking about. You know what I'm saying? You're talking about a generation of folks who, just because they're cops, does not take away their past, you know what I'm saying, or what got them to this point in life. You know, you have a lot of people who are bullies, who are ridiculed, who are whatever. They go into the service, they go into different branches of the government because they want to feel better about themselves. They want to feel stronger. And they get in positions of power, and some of them do abuse it. But there's a lot of reckless things going on, you know, reckless behavior. A lot of, you know, like we're going to talk about tonight, this reckless sex. We're going to be bringing in our authors. It's our special night of Writing Royalty Radio. Lisa, before we do all of that, you probably need to drop me a beat, Aaron. Aaron, drop that K. Michelle for me. Drop that beat if it bring our authors in the clubhouse.
I thought you said Lisa. Now,
I'm sorry. I forgot
on?
That was her.
I got you, Aaron.
You got Aaron?
I got you.
What you know about the grind in the streets? He moving work out of town every week. I know about it. What you know about them girls on the pole? She make her money every night, taking off her clothes. I know about it. Yep, I know about it. Struggling and stressing, that's why I come up in this bitch with aggression. Where I'm from, niggas die every day. Bet you ain't never seen a nigga die in your face. And life, the sacrifice, grind and grind to give some time. I know about it. Don't judge if you don't know nothing. With her for life, I know about it. Bet y'all know something about it. 3 years he been doing the same thing. You can hang it up, you'll never get a ring. Cause I know about it. Bet I know something about it. Cause all my life I've been struggling, assessing. That's why I come up in this bitch.
I made it my wife. I made it my wife. I couldn't afford, but I made it my price. Cause all of the lights, the money, the cars, even the ice, I wanted it all. So we was up nice from selling the raw and ducking them deep from a hell of a charge. I wanted to shine amongst the stars. I wanted to grind. They telling me nah. I felt like these niggas was telling me so. My mama, she told me I'm headed for bars. And where did it take? To a cell in the yard. Running ball with the killers. Talking fellas and all.
The life. Don't judge if you don't know nothing about it.
All right, all right, all right. It's about to go. And we up here in the clubhouse. This is our special, special Wednesday night edition. We have Aaron Bebo. We have the fabulous Miss Tony and Miss Alicia. And then we also are going to have our wonderful, wonderful guests in here tonight. We're talking about reckless sex. We have things going too far. You know, videos, audios. We have so many different things and scenarios we want to talk about in the clubhouse. We have Ruma on here, author of Venom in My Veins. And then we also have Nicole Jackson, G Street author. We're going to be jumping it off in the clubhouse. Aaron?
I'm here. I'm live in person. I'm keeping it well intact.
He's well intact.
No wild, no wild and crazy sex.
No, oh, God. Thank God.
Nothing reckless.
We can't take that. I mean, we already had you down to the green room. What happens in the green room stays in the green room, so no one ever knows what's going on down there, but it, I think it gets reckless. I think it gets reckless. It has something to do with books, I'll tell you that. It definitely is going to have something to do with books. But anyway, go ahead, Miss Alicia, and introduce the authors. If you see them in the clubhouse, go ahead on, introduce them, and bring them in.
Absolutely. Now, author Ruman TK, he had a 35-year prison sentence in front of him by the time he was 18. With only a bleak appeal hearing to look forward to at that point in time as far as getting off, the gang life that he was in with the fast money and the flying whips and the cherry picking of women, you know, it was nothing more than just a painful memory at that point in time. Like many of his peers, he took to the streets at the age of 10. After initiation into a gang, he quickly climbed the ranks within a notorious Chicago street gang. And at 18, he was all grown up, and he became one of the largest distributors in the cocaine trade. Now, 12 years later, Ruman has been released from captivity with a different vision. He wants to spread venom through his mighty pen. And then we have the beautiful Nicole Jackson. She was born and raised in Houston, Texas. She graduated in 2003 from her hometown high school. She's actively pursuing her bachelor's degree right now as she is writing. She is a very passionate writer. She utilizes her skills at any given opportunity. Her current releases, she has three books, well, three novels, titled She Got It, Hold It Down, and Like Sister and Brother. And she also has The Way It Is under the urban fiction genre. She writes poetry, which is something that really comes natural to her. So she's a very, very talented author. Both of these authors are talented, and I'm excited to get them in the clubhouse, hear about their literary journey and their life's journey, and get their input on this topic that we got going on.
Okay. All right. So go ahead and bring whoever it is ready. If their mics are checked, let's bring them in the clubhouse. Who we got, Alicia? We're waiting. Who we got? Are they in here? Have they arrived? Or do we need to kick it off ourselves? What's going on in the clubhouse?
I believe we have Nicole. Nicole?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi,
how are you?
I'm fine.
Hi,
how about you?
Oh, we're well. Thank you for coming out.
Hello,
welcome.
Hi.
We got that G Street heat in the house tonight. We definitely want you to be able to go ahead on and tell us about your journey and where you are today. With your books and what in your project?
Well, actually, I have 8 published novels.
Mm-hmm.
And the most recent one is with G Street, which is titled Promiscuous Girl.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just a person that just loves to come up with stuff that's not been already. I try to come out and be a little different because I see a lot of stuff is kind of all, like, generic and a little repetitive. And I think I'm a new voice out here.
Okay.
That's what's up.
Yes, and when does your newest novel come out?
It dropped on the 22nd of last month.
Oh, okay, it dropped on the 22nd.
I remember seeing that.
Okay, great. Well, definitely make sure you post those links so that our readers can get it on Kindle, Nook, iTunes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. Wonderful, wonderful. Go ahead, Aaron.
I really like the fact that you said that you feel like you're a new voice, and that a lot of stories that are coming out are repetitive and all that, because a lot of times people be afraid to say, you know, what they really feel about themselves. Like, because people be so busy trying to tell you to be humble and be humble and be humble. Humble is for the person that's supposed to be humble. Like, if you really have something that's real and it deserves light, like, you can't be humble about that. You know, and I ain't trying to be funny. Like, that's just my personal feeling. I'm not even saying that you weren't being humble, or that's the message that you were putting out, but I just feel like you're speaking from a place of confidence, and that's needed. You know, like, I feel like you validated yourself, and when people validate themselves, they usually get further, because then they're not waiting on anyone to put a stamp of approval on what it is that they've done or created, because they already know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So she has out Promiscuous Girl. Could you give us a little bit about that story without doing any spoilers? Because I think that plays a lot into our topic this evening.
Well, Promiscuous Girl, it's a little wild. I think it's like one of my, one of the worst books I've put out thus far. And the title speaks for itself. It's about a promiscuous young girl. But I try not to be too superficial with it. So immediately I show the readers how she became to be. And, you know, and all the things that, you know, the different, you know, sexual abuse and all the things she endured that created, you know, the monster. Or not necessarily the monster, but the person and the ways, you know, that she had, you know, how it all came to be. And it's just about her journey and self-discovery and how she realizes that, you know, that she's more than her body and she's more than her looks.
Uh-huh. Okay. Do you think that what's going on with, you know, a lot of people with reckless sex and trying a lot of different things, you think that has a lot to do with maybe abuse and things like that that maybe went on in their past? Well, people nowadays, they have a lot of reckless, we're talking about reckless sex, they have a lot of reckless sexual behavior. I was saying, you were talking about that the people that you're writing about, they had a past and, you know, things happened. Do you think that's what is going on with a lot of people with their reckless sexual behavior in this day and time?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, your past shapes who you are now. You know, mm-hmm. Sometimes, you know, you can overcome obstacles, but definitely your past experiences shapes and molds you into whoever you become. So, mm-hmm. You know, that plays a huge role, because even as I talk to my readers and we talk about certain subjects, everybody's going to have a different outlook depending on their upbringing and what they were surrounded in their environment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Aaron?
So what were some of your other earlier works? Because you said you have 8 novels out.
Yeah, my debut novel was She Got It. And that came out last year in November. And, you know, it's done phenomenal things. You know, it opened up a lot of doors. That was my introduction. And it surpassed anything that I could have expected. Because, you know, I came out by myself. I was totally independent. And it's been doing great, and it still sells consistently. And after She Got It, there was Hold It Down, Like Sister and Brother. The third novel was The Way It Is. The fourth one was Connected. The fifth one was Circumstances. Right before Circumstances, you had Can't Trust These Bitches. And the one right before Promiscuous Girl is called The Game Never Changes.
Now, what would you classify your writing as?
Just urban fiction. Urban, I believe, as far as the genre is concerned. But beyond that, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, this urban, yes. Okay. Alicia, go ahead.
Oh, I have a question for you, Nicole. Now, being still a new author, what is your pen bringing to the literary world that isn't already here? What is the fire that comes out of your pen that sets your books aside from other authors?
I believe I'm authentic. A lot of times, maybe this is just my belief, but I'm a reader. I'm an avid reader. And I just have been noticing that as of lately, a lot of people, they write about the street from a non-realistic standpoint. It's like maybe they're from the burbs or they're just writing about what they think is happening. There's no authenticity there. And I feel like I'm a voice of realness. And, you know, if I hadn't lived it, I was close to nearby. And I draw from experience, not fantasy, and I try to keep it as real as possible, and I think that connects with the people.
Mhm.
Okay. That's
what's up. Mhm.
Tony. Yes. Hi, Nicole. Hi. I just want to ask you, what is the inspiration behind your plot of your latest book?
Just watching the people in my city. You know, I live in Houston, and there's a lot of promiscuous girls walking around. You know, a lot of lost souls walking around. That you know, and it's what's really crazy is half of them don't know they lost.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. That's the sad part right there.
Absolutely.
No, it's half of them.
It's bad enough to be lost, and to be lost and not know you lost. Woo!
No, that's a deadly combination.
Definitely. But go ahead, Aaron. Go ahead and kick off into this topic so we can get it going in the clubhouse.
Well, the topic is reckless sex. I mean, it's pretty much self-explanatory. Like her title, she's talking about the females, the younger. Now, are you seeing just the younger females in your city, or are you seeing just an overall from women generally?
No, it's number one, it's a generational thing. When you see a young girl that's lost, she probably has lost mother. Her mother was lost. It's a thing that's passed on from one ignorant person to the next. It doesn't start off, you know, out of the blue. It comes from your home and how you were raised and what you saw. So, no, I'm talking about more so in general.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, the woman out here that has no self-respect, doesn't know her value. You know, because you could be born gorgeous, but if you weren't taught the right things, you don't have self-love. The world can be in place.
I definitely agree with that. Let's bring in our other guest and see his take on this.
Okay.
Hey, TK, how are you?
Hey, everybody. How y'all doing?
Hey, TK.
Foremost, I want to apologize for my tardiness. It's been a hectic day for me. Also, I'm dealing with the Central Standard Time, and it totally escaped my mind that you guys are on Eastern, so my apologies. I'm here
now,
though.
That's fine. We're happy to have you. This is Nene. You know, happy to have you out here. Congratulations on the new book. And give us a little bit on your journey now that you're in the clubhouse.
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
Your journey. Just tell us a little bit about your literary journey.
As far as how I came about writing this specific book?
Yes.
Okay. Well, actually, I wrote a book before this one, so it all started there. I was doing a stretch in the penal system here in Wisconsin. I got arrested when I was 18 for a substantial amount of cocaine, guns, and money and all that jazz. And when I was 18, I was sentenced to 35 years, you know. So of course, my future was a little bleak, as you can imagine. But I didn't allow myself to succumb to that, like that bleak feeling as far as spiritually and mentally. So I was figuring out ways where I can utilize my time for in productive ways. I always had a passion for writing ever since I was a kid. To give you an example, I never studied for book reports. I didn't read. I didn't have to. I just can read the back of the book and the synopsis of the book, probably the first couple of pages, and I figure it out from there and make up my own story. And never received less than an A minus. No, to be honest with you, none less than a B+. So I always had the passion in me for writing. I always loved it. I never took it seriously, even thought that I could even be a writer. Of course, with the career path that I took illegally, but it's neither here nor there. But so when I got incarcerated, when I caught the case or whatever, I'm from Chicago, and I was, you know, hitting the highway like many of my peers that was in the game at the time. So I was coming to Wisconsin and doing what I do, and I never made it back. One time I didn't make it back. So I say within 3 or 4 years within my prison system sentence, I reached out. Well, I came across a few urban novels. Waheeda was one of the first, of course. And another one that really resonated with me. I reached out to Waheeda because I just liked her style of writing. I didn't even realize she was locked up. So I think maybe that's why it didn't resonate me as much as it did with an author by the name of Victor Earl Martin.
Shout out to Vic. That's a good dude, real good dude. Go ahead.
Yeah. So, and we actually label mates now. So, wow, that's crazy. But I didn't know this dude. I read A Hood Legend, and I was floored.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the writing was outstanding, to say the least.
Mm-hmm.
His erotica, his everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't know he was incarcerated. So I was in my cell. I was actually in SAG. I was in a hole when I got a hold of his books. So when I read the first one, I realized the second part because he left me with a cliffhanger. I'm like, wow. So I found out about the next book that he had, which was Menage's Way. And in that book, it said that he was locked up and had his address or whatever. So I reached out to my man. You know, I didn't expect nothing in return. I reached out to him, told him I was an expiring author, yada, yada, made some copies of what I was working on, sent him a few chapters, as well as Waheeda. So this was around the same time. And surprisingly enough, they both reached back. And so the seed was planted then, and I got to work. They reached back with words of encouragement, said I had what it takes, yada, yada, yada. It's just the fuel that I needed to start the engine, and the rest is history.
Okay. So now you have your new project, Out Venom in My Vein. Tell us a little bit about that particular project.
Okay. Well, Venom in My Vein, it's about a young boy. He started off young, but, of course, he grew up within the book. So the reader can grow with him. But he started off, he's young. He's fatherless. He's a mixed breed. He's 50% Nigerian, 50% Italian. Nigerian dad skipped town, so he's nowhere around, which will come out later as to why. But so his grandfather, which is his mother's father, is 100% Italian, took him under his wing, and it just so happens that he's the head of a cartel in the underworld of Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
So at the age of around 11, take Brahmis, which is the lead character, under his wing, and he pretty much mold him to be an assassin and to kill without a conscience. He did that initially because it was a jobs that he needed to be taken care of that he couldn't use his own team for, so he would call on his grandson. And oddly enough, although he was a boy, he was doing men jobs and getting it done. It pretty much worked out that way. A few years within that, they always kept it a secret. No one knew what Brahmis was doing. Brahmis early on learned the value in silence and secrecy from his grandfather. So he never talked about what he did. So a few years after that, after his initiation with his grandfather, what have you, that only his grandfather he knew about, he was murdered.
in the streets of Chicago, what we call Chirac, because of, you know, what's going on up there.
Well, don't give them no spoilers. Don't give them no spoilers, because you want them to be one again.
No, that's what I'm over here doing.
No doubt.
Yeah, don't give them no spoilers. We want them to be one click.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, and the famous words of NeNe, dun, dun, dun. Y'all have to pay for the rest. You have to pay for the rest.
Right. Well, I'm just going to say this, and I'm going to cut it off. Once his grandfather is murdered, he's pretty much he's released into the streets with all this skill, with all this training, and basically the leash is let loose. The pit bull is on the loose, and he won't revenge for his pops, his grandpops. So that's what it comes down to.
Okay. Sounds good. Sounds like it's a real good novel. Can't wait to get my copy. I need my autographed copy in my hand.
You mean you ain't got it yet? You ain't got it yet? What's going on?
Wahida been slipping. She's been slipping. I haven't got any of my autographed copies lately. I'm going to have to speak to her about this.
She's been busy. In her defense, she's very busy.
When is she not?
Right.
Go ahead, Aaron.
But if you give it to me, I will make sure that I give it to NeNe after me and Tony pass it around and read.
Knock
it off. We're to make sure she gets it.
That ain't right. Don't look through
this. Yeah, we got to review it, right, Tisha? Right,
we got to make sure it's good
before she gets it.
Absolutely, but you still want to support the author as well. When you pass it around, you know, you got to support us as well.
Oh, we all
even if it's just a Kindle copy. Spend that money. Don't be like that.
Well, PK, I just spent my Kindle money, so it's in my library.
I appreciate that.
That's all right. Aaron?
I'm going to make sure I give you a big hug when I meet you. Aaron, how's it going, man? Been hearing a lot about Aaron, so it's a good thing that I'm finally talking to you. I'm good. How are you?
I hope it was all good. It was.
You know, I got in tune when y'all had that friendly competition with Cash. Ooh, that was y'all had the people in the uproar behind that, but that was good stuff right there. I was in the wings checking you out. I even heard the interview, all that. So
Thank you. I appreciate it, brother.
No doubt.
Salute to you as well. How was it constructing your novel from inside?
Inside the walls?
Yes.
Constructing. When a lot of the guys, you know, did other things like play spades, poker, what have you, table games, I was in my cell, in my typewriter. Don't get me wrong, that was how I ate. Dominoes was my bread and butter. So when I made my money or lost my money, because it didn't always go my way, I go right into my cell and get to work. I mean, the few that both Wahida and Victor gave me, I can't stress that enough. And I'm not just saying that because I'm with her. That's not me. If it was somebody else, I'd put them out there and salute them as well. But if it was, I mean, the few that Wahida and Victor gave me was enough for me to believe in myself, to believe in my writing. So when guys was on the yard or doing whatever they do, I was in my cell doing what I do. Go ahead.
What was some of the inspiring reading that you were reading at the time? What authors outside of Wahida and Vincent? I mean, excuse me, Victor. What other authors inspired you or that you?
Dutch. Was definitely one. Dutch was that man at the time. When I read that Dutch trilogy, he ignited a flame where I was like, I got to be better than that, or at least on that level. I won't accept anything less. I'm having a brain freeze right now. Shannon Holmes, Be More Careful. I can't even find words adequate enough to explain that joint, how it resonated with me. And of course, the books that Wahida continue to put out, the whole Thug series, I was into that, especially since I was in correspondence with our brothers, though I know the author, so I can relate more. So that was basically it. Who else? Terry Woods, definitely. definitely Terry Woods with the whole True to the Game saga. I was definitely a fan of that. I hate what happened had to happen and whatever, but that ain't my business.
Now reading some of those, earlier works by urban fiction authors, what are some of the, because those are early people, like everybody you name it basically is, you know.
Right. And to be honest level. With you, Aaron, yeah, and to be honest with you, that's where I come from. You guys
just
not here
I dig
from.
It. I've been telling people, listen, honestly, I'm going to keep it real. That's why I was just letting you keep go on and name them. And then when you started with the I'm like, yeah, it's not really that. It's just that was it. Like, and I be trying to tell people that too. Like, yo, these other people weren't really, even if they were around, they weren't around.
Right.
Like when these people were doing their thing. You know what I mean? Like,
no doubt.
So I get it.
And Eric Gray too. I cannot leave Eric out, as well as Quan.
Yeah, Eric is definitely a hell of a writer.
Absolutely, and Quan is too. So I apologize. He should have been one of the first ones. I read like four of his books when I was in that sale. He got me through my little 180. I had to do 6 months in a hole.
Those earlier works was definitely serious. Now, that's what my question was going to be. What books? What have you seen change now with the writing now, as opposed to then, or have you seen a change?
To be honest with you, I haven't even been in the loop. I don't read many urban books. That's just being honest, and maybe because of what it's come to. I mean, I don't like nobody hustle. I kind of cringe when I get asked this question because I don't want to. Offend anyone, but at the same token, the craft. I mean, a lot of people are just putting out whatever they can put out, just for the sake of putting it out and have their name on it. But I mean, that's me just getting into their mind, and I can't. That's not fair of me. I mean, I can only speak from where I stand, and then it's not held to the standard that it used to be. If that's safe to, I think that's safe to say. Did I answer your question?
It's not no right answer because I can't speak for you. Like you could have simply said, I don't see no change. I
right, but it's definitely a change. I'd be lying if I said that. It's definitely a change. It's the word saturated has become saturated. So I don't even want to say that word. But
yeah,
it's a lot out there. But I always believe that the cream rises to the top. I know that's an old saying and whatever, but that's the truth. I mean, like the young lady said, I'm sorry I didn't catch her name, but they swap it around before they actually purchase, and that's fine. I'm totally cool with that because I feel as though my writing is quality work. But I mean, I can only speak for myself. So you know the rest. You know what's out there. Fan base do too. The people know too. I mean.
Absolutely. I have a question for you. But before I ask my question, just so you know, here at Ryan Royalty, we might swap around, but we buy it too.
That's what's up.
Okay, we got real readers on deck. Go ahead, Alicia.
Now, the book that you wrote, is it based off of all of your experience or just some of your experiences and events in your life? Or did you mix it around with a little bit of everything?
Both. Absolutely both. And I said this in another interview. I don't even know if it's been published yet. But what I think what separates me from other writers is that I've been there. You know, I've been there, done that. You check my record, you'll see. If you check my history, you Google me, you'll see that. So I write from a different place. I don't have a hell of an imagination, and I tilt my hats off to the authors that do, that's able to take their reader somewhere just from imagination alone. They can take a person to Hawaii, never been there. That's amazing. Me, on the other hand, I write from a different place. I write from a place where I've been and a place where I'm going. If these youngins don't, and not just youngins, these old heads too, if they don't change up what they're doing, if it's illegal, I've been where they're going. When a person reads my book, and I pride myself on this, they either know that I've either witnessed it firsthand, or I've been through it, you know. And that's what it basically boils down to. So to answer your question, it's a little bit of both. It's my experiences. It's my guys' experiences. You know, I got guys that's in affairs. I got guys that's dead behind the stuff I write about. You know what I mean? So, but and foremost, I want to put this out there as well. I mean, it's a work of fiction, so we don't want to get that construed. I don't need nobody knocking on my door with badges. This is a work of fiction, and foremost, it's just entertainment. You know, at the same time, though, I want my readers to know when they read my book, read my TK book, it's coming from a place where it's realism.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's going to make sense, 100%.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's good to know. We're happy that you have put out an original read, you know, for the readers. And, you know, we want them to head on over to Amazon, Nook, Kindle. I know Wahida on all those avenues. Paperback, so get ready to get your one click on Venom in My Veins is now available. This is our special edition of Writing Royalty Radio on a Thursday night. You have Aaron Bebo, I am Nene Capri. We have the fabulous Miss Tony and Miss Leisha. We also have Nicole Jackson straight out of G Street Camp, and we have Rumat TK out of Wahida Clark Presents Publishing. Tonight our hot topic is reckless sex. Since we have you in here, we've already weighed in with Nicole. How do you feel, TK, about, you know, this, what you're seeing, maybe videos or what you're hearing about people? Is it just sexual freedom or are people definitely being reckless? How you feel about that?
As far as what? I didn't catch that. I'm sorry. You say videos?
Yeah, you know, people are videoing, people are putting up, you know, their experiences. You got folks hanging from shower poles and stuff. Is it sexual freedom, or you think that people are definitely being reckless?
To be honest with you, it depends. We got this new vibrant technology out now called the internet, where we can post things like that and get a reaction. I don't know if it's reckless or not, because what you see on the internet cannot very well be that person's life. I mean, these is two different worlds. You can have a person that's talking about they sell loud $1,000 a pound, and as soon as you go to their house, they homeless. They ain't got it like that. So if they doing it like that, then that's reckless. If not, then that's perpetrating. Sexual freedom. I just think that people basically running with the 15 seconds of whatever they can get at the end of the day. You know, and I'm not one to, I'm not one to, you know, doo-doo on that. So.
You're not one to do what?
I'm not one to doo-doo on that. I ain't want to say shit on it, but, so, yeah.
Okay. Aaron?
I'm trying not to cuss as much.
Okay.
I'm trying to change that about myself. I got a potty mouth.
Okay, potty.
I just think that, you know, like I said, I think that it's a larger effect. I think a lot of things be a larger effect than what people, you know, may see. Some people don't see it, and then some people may see it and just be like, eh. And then some people just may not believe that things can go to where they go to. So I think that, you know, people may look at it and be like, you know, it's nothing. But if it's really and truly all of this stuff that's going on the internet, that everybody's like, man, ain't too much, ain't nothing. Quiet is kept. These same things are rewriting the Constitution. That's why you're about to have to get the messenger and all that. Like, these things are rewriting the Constitution. When I say it today, nobody won't hear me, but 6 months from now, you know what I mean, they'll be saying it over like it's a new revelation, like they discovered it. You know, it'll be the Christopher Columbus of their ideas. Like, people got to be looking beneath the surface at some of this stuff. Like, it'd be seeming like...
So you think that, you know, with all of this, with the internet and everything, it's not just people getting their few minutes of fame. The things that they're doing is basically going to change, you know, laws and stipulations.
Yeah, it is. It is changing laws and stipulations. Actual fact.
Okay. How you feel about that, TK?
I feel he just went real deep with that. Said it's going to affect the Constitution. That's interesting. I'd like to hear more about that, but I know it's probably a
another 2-3 hour call for that one, but
it's really not. Think about it. If when you go on Facebook now, they telling you to sign up for Messenger or this, that, and the third, your account ain't gonna operate in a certain way. Why do they want you to sign up for Messenger? Because they're gonna access all your information, all your personal information, everything that belongs to you. So that, so in effect, guess what that does? That take away your right to privacy and freedom. You give it back, though, when you sign up for Messenger. So they ain't taking it. They really, you giving it back. You signing a waiver to change the Constitution without even knowing, you know what I mean? You're giving up your rights to privacy and all that. So this is actual fact. Like, I just be seeing things real quick for what they be because I've been so in tune with the ways and movements of the government that as soon as they do something, like, I'll see, I'll be like, oh, this is about to happen. And I'll say it. And it might be 1,000 people standing there and only 4 people going to walk away with me. Like, your word, that is about to blow up. I see it. You know what I mean? Because it ain't going to make sense to everybody at the same time because they trend is definitely going to be bigger than anything I can say. That's why it they don't be worried about our great speakers that be speaking for the African-American community. At first, like, they would have the people that are speaking in the African-American community, they don't be too much worried about them until they start exposing, you know, what they're doing. Like, if it's something personal, like for instance, the Ferguson situation, that's personal. There was a black kid killed, it was there, and that's where it happened. That's not the American agenda. You feel me? So, like, Al Sharpton and all them type of people that's showing up there, that's not an issue. Now, if somebody like Farrakhan was to show up there, the whole agenda would change because the things that he's going to say is going to be more directed towards American policy and not just thinking about, hey, look what happened here in Ferguson. Justice for this one kid, this one black kid in America. His message is going to be so, you know, harsh in the way of how the government is operating on a whole that Ferguson ain't going to be the issue. It's going to be the issue of, yo, you know what? The government's treating black people wrong everywhere, and we're tired.
Right.
It's going to it's going to create that type of. Long
okay.
See, the Ferguson thing is contained.
Sure. Right.
We got a caller, Aaron. Take that caller at 570-951.
570-951. You are live. Good evening.
Their call dropped.
They dropped. Okay. Oh, they're about to curse me the hell out.
They done playing around. They done with your political stance for the evening. Yeah, they're done with that. And they don't want to hear that tonight. They said absolutely not. They're getting ready to get you.
They're about to go in on me.
They were going in. And TK sounded like he has some things that he's been holding back that he might want to have to say. We got Nicole over there. Nicole, how you feeling this evening about some of the things that you've already heard?
Like, wow, the conversation went a little left.
Didn't it go to the left? Aaron took it over. Aaron, let me tell you something. I don't know what Aaron does when he goes down to the green room. I already discussed that.
Nah, this is what I'm saying.
And
it really didn't
there,
go to the left. It's just I was just, we just on the constitution of the acts that's being betrayed. We still talking about the reckless sex and how I'm just talking about the effect that I believe is having.
Well, tie them in together so that the callers don't get lost.
I just feel like
these. And the host also, we don't want to get lost.
Yeah, I don't want to be lost.
Nah, I just feel like these sexual acts and all that that's being put out there, like is desensitizing people, like I said earlier, and it's stealing the innocence away from the children, and they not being guided, and they being misguided. Now we're a mother telling a daughter, hey, don't walk out this house without no training bra on. What's wrong with you? She like, yo, hold on, let me get my camera. My baby twerking. You feel me? Like, it's a different thing.
Yeah,
that's
not
what I'm
cool.
Saying. I'm talking about what's being put out there and how it's rewriting the Constitution. And even these younger generations are like the generations before them where they were rewriting the Constitution. Like the young people in the 60s with Woodstock and all that, they were rewriting the Constitution, but they had a different agenda, and they had education on their side. A lot of these young kids was coming down from colleges and universities, and they had a cause, and they had points to really express and explain. these kids now are just reckless.
They are reckless.
Yeah, they
are. That's true.
Very reckless.
They're definitely reckless. And the intelligence level is definitely lower. You know, you had those who did different things back in the day that the intelligence was definitely higher than what's going on. And they say that the technology is going to have these children smarter, but actually not, because you have machines and equipment doing the work for you. You know what I'm saying? Like, we actually have to get the dictionary and look the word up. They just Google it, you know what I'm saying, real quick. If they don't have Google, they can't spell, add, subtract, multiply, divide.
Nothing.
It's ridiculous. So,
I mean, a bunch of future know-it-alls with no answers. And we have to look at this, because think about it. In 20 years, who you think going to be getting elected governor, president, mayor, police chief? These know-it-alls with no answers. That's why it's a problem.
Go ahead, TK. What did you get right there?
I think in some ways, or a lot of ways, depending on who you're asking, we put too much weight on the media, on the Internet. It starts at home. I mean, we talk about the reckless kids, but who's to blame? We are. We the generation before. The learning is passed down. It's not passed up. That's not traditionally how it goes. Mm-hmm. I mean, so when we point them fingers, just know it's like, what, 3 or 4 pointing right back at us, because if somebody's going to make a change, it got to be us, the pioneers. And I know it's easier said than done, because the youngers ain't trying to hear it. I mean, if Larry come home right now, I'd be scared for the man. That's Larry Hoover in Chicago. He come home, he might get killed because of the way he thinks it's so different than what's going on right now.
Yeah,
but the teaching started with him. And like a lot of others that's in them fields, in them mountains, and never coming home. I guess what I'm saying is it starts at home. I mean, we got to buckle down and explain to our little ones the difference between entertainment, reality, fiction, nonfiction. I instead of hiding it and then they go out there and find it and have whoever else out there to explain to them what's going on, we need to take that responsibility and not be afraid of that, and talk about sex, talk about rubbers, talk about babies, talk about guns, talk mm-hmm. about the cuss words in Drake's song, because all that's going to come up on a daily, you
mm-hmm.
know, and
yeah.
I think that's where it starts at right there.
Yeah, because you know what, and if you take the media out of it and you just look at people's personal behavior in the homes, you know, even if a child didn't see television all day, they didn't have the media outlet, but you have the parent, you have the mother who's bringing in the different
exactly.
men, or you have the man
exactly.
who's bringing in the different women, and they're learning from that aspect as well. So even though the media is out there and they do have a huge influence with television, it's a lot of kids who don't have cable, who don't have television, who aren't watching the shows, but they're watching the behavior of the adults
exactly.
in their life.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Good. That's true.
Take that caller, Aaron, and then we'll
that's
get right to the 570.
Oh, yeah. That's the person who's about to go in on me.
Hold on.
What's this, Negro? Good evening. 570-540. You are live.
Hello. Hey.
What's
hi.
Up,
hey, that wasn't me earlier. I don't know who that 570 was. It wasn't me. Okay. You know, I agree with TK. I think it's a snowball effect. It's been coming down the mountain. Like, we can't – I always quote Tupac. They were giving this world, they'd make it. And that's simple as that. To say the kids are reckless right now, we were reckless. They're just the outcome
exactly.
of being reckless. That's who was reckless. And like Aaron was saying, the 60s, the people from the 40s were saying the 60s was out of control. This conversation has been
exactly.
going on forever. It's the same. Mm-hmm. I remember when I was growing up and people were saying, oh, y'all Generation X, we did it like this. It's always been
exactly.
that.
Exactly. Yep.
It's
yep.
just how we handle it now. I think
you're
our
right.
generation is handling it right. Back then,
the only thing that's missing with everything that you said is the education.
Yeah, no,
these
and how
kids
we,
are nowhere
you know
smart.
How we are handling it, because back then we had mothers handle it. Now we got little girls handling it. Mothers ain't. They're not handling it right. They're not talking to their children the right way. They're scared to say no. They're saying no, but. No, we can't do this, but back in the day, it was no. Ain't no but. It's no.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Too many parents trying to be their friends.
Yeah. Or they ask
too many parents be trying to be their kids' friends, yo.
Now the government is the family. The government has Trump coming to the household. So they, you can't raise your kids. If you want to raise them, if you teach your child that homosexuality is not right, they go to school saying that, then they're in trouble.
Hmm.
Now, you tell your child somebody hit you, hit them back, you go to school, now they suspend it. So it's like it's a back and forth thing. You got to find your way. It's hard raising children now. And I'm not saying because on the outside, I'm raising them.
Yeah,
no
doubt. You got to be cutting that social media out, though, now. Because, and I say that because the peer pressure is different for these kids now. Like, if I go to school, I might only hear the shit that's going on with the few people that I'm hanging out with at school. Because everybody wasn't hanging with everybody. Everybody had their little groups. You know what I mean? And I would only hear what was going on in my group. Now the way the media is and the way that it affects everybody in school. If something happens with Kanye West and Kim, everybody at school that day is talking about Kanye West and Kim.
The kids, mm-hmm. at the point, you're talking about Kanye West and the kids. Forget Kanye West. We told the little girl, Jessica, who had a fight at 101, and it's everywhere by 104. So she getting bullied by everybody. Understand that point of view. But we had calling back in the day. And your parents made sure you didn't do the recalling. It's always going to be something. We have to adapt to it. We can't just not adapt to it. It's always going to be something.
Yeah, you got to adapt and overcome.
We got to discipline ourselves in a way that we're really not ready for. Like, for instance, some kids over in them Asian countries have certain hours of the week that they use in the computer. Like, look, you only got 7 hours of computer time this week.
It's kids over here like that, too. And that's how we're going to stop it. If the kids keep hearing us saying stuff like people in other countries or we're back, they're not going to listen to us if they're going to shut down. Because this kid over here is doing the same thing. It's just those kids nobody going to talk about or families do the same thing. What happens is the media, again, show you a lot of kids that's not doing it. Like, they show you 5 kids that's not doing it, but it's 25 that is doing it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's what they supposed to show you. They supposed to show you the 25. You know why? Because if you start doing what the 25 is doing, that's going to affect their overall plan.
That's
why they
got to
push propaganda.
And that's why I said parents and us have to adapt to the situation. Like with the three-way calling. I remember I was telling you all the time, y'all can't use three-way calling, it gets you in trouble. When I was younger, they didn't have telephone. So we learned how to adapt to the three-way calling. Now we got to learn how to adapt to this Internet.
Unless you grab your kid's phone when they come in from outside every time and be gone. Like, you have to be so...
Oh, I do. I do phones. Yes, I do.
You have to be so serious as a parent right now that it's not even funny. Like it's with these kids because they have too much access to things that we definitely didn't have access to. Like, those, the same things were there, the same dangers, the same temptations, but our access to them was so restricted or limited, or we would have to go through so much to get to it that we'd be like, man, I might get caught with this shit. Our logic and our thinking process was longer, and which made it better. Now these kids are just spontaneous.
We got to use our imagination and we use our common sense. These kids don't have to use common sense.
No, all they got to do is go to Google.
And I'm quick to tell everybody, quick, she's really smart, but her common sense is lacking. Not because of me, it's because of common sense. Her peers, I see the kids that she go to college with, really smart, no common sense.
And to piggyback on what the young lady said, as far as adapting, we do. We got to adapt and overcome. I mean, the times has changed, so we cannot do in 2000 what our parents did in the 60s. It just don't happen that way. And with that being said, I disagree with Aaron as far as that we need to take certain things away. Absolutely not. For what? That's where we start. That's where we mess up at right there. You take it away, now they're going to find a way to get it because they want it more now. So now they're going somewhere outside the household to find out about this with no real explanation as to what's going on. Whereas in your household, this is your child. You're going to make sure they understand why and why not, should or should not. and they're gonna get an explanation, a very educated explanation. And then at that time, you allow them to make their own decisions because you're not with them 24/7. But if we block them away from that, we block them from the real world. It'll bite us in the ass every time.
I'm gonna tell you something funny. It's funny you should say that because that was exactly gonna be my point when you finished talking. The real world. You have to set restrictions because guess what? In the real world, it don't work like how most kids are imagining. There's restrictions.
Mm-hmm.
Like they have to know, like, look, if you don't work, you don't eat. You can't just do this because you'll lose your job. Your attitude needs to be like, so you have to make restrictions. And it is real life.
That's
a restriction.
That's more of a discipline. That's not what I agree with you, though. I agree with that part right there. Absolutely.
Like, you have to have that. You say, yo, look, you have to be able to be as honest with yourself to be like, yo, you know what? My kid is 15, but my kid is not responsible enough for a smartphone because I know they're going to be doing some other shit.
I disagree with that.
Right,
okay.
Right. I feel you.
Okay, but I mean,
go ahead, Nicole. Let's hear Nicole. Go ahead, Nicole.
Yeah, I might be a little younger than most people on this panel. And mm-hmm. So I'm somewhere in between not having, you know, all the social media and having it. And I definitely believe that it all starts at home. I know personally when my mom told me not to do something and I wanted to do it, I was going to do it. And
absolutely.
When you tell somebody they're not going to do it, they're going to sneak and do it. And then there's no
absolutely.
Supervision. So you have to come to a middle ground somewhere. You can't just lay down the law and say no because you have to really think about what did you do at that age. When your mother told you no, did you listen or did you find a way to work around it?
It depends.
So when you restrict and you do that, you cut off the means of communication. And when there's no communication or a child feels that they cannot talk to
you,
that's where the problem come in at.
Absolutely.
I don't know. I'm going to
I don't know. Because communicating
on that. I give my daughter a lot of restrictions. She's 13, so she's not, you know, on a lot of different things. She's homeschooled. I took her out of school because, you know, I wanted to be able to be the heaviest influence in her life. And it's always been restrictions in our household. And through the way we have raised her from an infant, I don't have that. You know, I don't have the sneakiness. Like, she's not
carrying
it out. You know, different things. We just don't have that. And we have a total open communication. We talk about everything. But the way I explain
exactly.
to her restrictions, the way
what about if she goes to college or something? Because see, if you keep a child close to you, like I really believe wholeheartedly that sometimes you have to let them go and see things for themselves. Like my mm-hmm. mama, she could show me whatever. But mm-hmm. that's her showing me. It's totally different when I'm out here on my own. So, like, if you're homeschooling her, okay, let's say you homeschool until she graduates high school. If she goes off to college, she's mm-hmm. not going to have you there. She's still going to have to be able to use her own judgment. So,
mm-hmm. I'm fully confident that she will because I know my child. I think everybody has to know the type of child they have. Like, I wouldn't say for every parent to run and do what I did, but because I have a connection with her from the womb. I've been at home with her since she was born for 13 years. I found something to do inside the house so I could connect with my child. I know my child. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, Nene, not to cut you off, I'm sorry, but if I had a dime for every parent, including mine, and said, that's not my baby.
I'm just saying.
My baby don't do that. No. He murdered somebody? Oh, no. He couldn't have. I heard this. Listen, I'm from Chicago. If I heard that, if I got a dime for every time I heard that, I would be good.
I'm not even concerned about your dimes. You'll be rich when I'm telling you. Because, see, we got a God that we raise inside our child. Like, we have a lot of morals and different things we're putting in her. So I know what me and my husband came together to create. So it's a whole different story, you know what I'm saying, when you set out to create
right.
and you have not sat down with the person you're creating with and y'all don't have, like, minds, y'all don't have, like, goals, you know what I'm saying? I didn't just lay down and say, hey, today I'm having a baby. Absolutely not. We planned and plotted that for 8 years and created a brilliant art between
us.
So, like I said,
that's
I know my
up.
child.
I got a quick question, Nene. This is for Nene.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's just say, I don't know how old your daughter is, but let's just say, let's just roll with this scenario. Say your daughter 15, it's her first date. Y'all haven't talked about sex yet.
Would you feel better? Let me tell you something. We talked about sex when she was three. Well, she asked me how to teach it.
Now, Nene, let me cut you off right there. To some parents, that would be a restriction. See, that's what I mean right there. That's what I mean. Now, I'm not saying we don't have rules. Of course not. Kids need rules. They need that to survive. Mm-hmm. That's how they strive. They need discipline. It's not what I'm saying. It just needs to be age appropriate. Well, a lot of people, like you just said, you talk to your I got a daughter this too. I don't plan on talking about sex at three, but I'm not knocking
Let
you.
Let me tell you what I'm saying.
I'm not knocking you. You got to do what you got to do for yours.
Absolutely. Having conversations with children when they are curious about things helps to increase their intelligence, and it helps to arm them with information. My daughter started talking at 6 months old. I agree with that. She saw private parts. She straight up asked me, "Mommy, how did I get here? Where did I come from?" At 3 years old, that's what she wanted to know. And my husband and I sat down, and we gave her a conversation that was age appropriate. But we never had any problems out of her with her understanding or comprehension because we had a real conversation when she asked.
Right. Y'all explained to her. A lot of parents don't, Nene. That's the point I was making.
You know why?
With the fear or the restriction, or because it's been passed down that way. Their parents didn't talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
You feel what I'm saying? Go ahead.
I just think that the whole thing, and Nene just hit the nail right on the head. Like, it's like, I think that y'all misinterpreted these restrictions. Like, hey, you're saying, hey, don't do that. No, it's not, hey, don't do that. It's, hey, don't do that, and explain why. You know why? Because if you're an adult, you can explain from a place of experience. Like, you already know. When you're telling a child not to do something, it's because you already know the outcome. It's not that you're just telling the child.
And when
no.
our parents told us, Aaron, they just was like, don't do such and such. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, when you
don't have sex. Don't look at boys.
When you set up these perimeters with reason, and you give reason, you know what you do? You give the kid the ability to reason. Yes, they are ultimately going to do what they want to do. But you know what? That could be the difference of you sitting down and communicating with your kid and giving them the reason as to why. And them sitting in a boy's room about to take off their clothes and then say, nah, you know what? I ain't ready. I'm about to go home.
Exactly. That's the point I was making right there.
If you don't have those restrictions, guess what? They don't have anybody to disappoint. They don't have anyone to disappoint. They ain't disappoint mama. And they don't know enough to disappoint themselves because they still learn it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Absolutely. And you know what? That was one of my main things that we used with my daughter. You know, I always use, your father is going to be so disappointed in you. Whatever she did, that was a part of my, when I was talking to her about doing something wrong, and she held him in such a high regard that she didn't want to, you know. Even now, when she's making her choices at 13, she really sits down and like, Mom, I was thinking about Dad said, you said. So, you know, like I said, I'm confident in what you put in them. Of course they're going to do what they want to do, but if you're not putting nothing in, they don't have nothing to pull from.
You know, waiting for them to get grown up conversations
when the world is grown all around them. And if you're not arming them with information, you can forget about it. They're going to be arming them with information. Yeah, with 500 boys standing around while they blowing them one by one, because somewhere in their mind, they don't have any information that says this is wrong activity.
Exactly. There you go, Nene. Nail in the head. Pow.
Yeah, you gotta have those restrictions. You gotta have.
You keep saying restrictions. You're throwing me
off. You know why?
There.
Because that's really what they are. Because when the kid goes out into the world, the kid is gonna encounter restrictions. There's gonna be certain things that now the kid as an adult can't really do. Like they tell you as a kid, people tell you over and over as a kid, like, yo, you could do anything you want to do, but what they don't tell you is the steps you need to get there a lot of times. So if you don't set restrictions, a kid will never know what barriers they can and can't knock down and achieve things. They'll just be out there reckless. Ain't no rules. They just out there.
I have to, I'm going to just kind of step in here. This is Tony, everybody. I've been listening to everybody's comments on this. Hi, CK. I have to agree with Nene. Certain parents know their children. Like, I know my children also. And actually, just to give you an example, I have a daughter that just graduated high school, and everybody is always excited about going to the prom. And she had been hearing all these stories about what these kids are going to be doing at the prom, and she just didn't want any part of it. So I said, you know, you can go to the prom, but just be you. You know, you don't have to be led. You be a leader and don't follow, which is what we've always taught them to do. But she said, I just didn't want to be in that environment. That's not what I'm about. You know, and I held steadfast to that. Now, what 17-year-old girl is going to give up going to the prom? It's just something that she was not interested in. And she tried to talk to her friends and asked, why do you do certain things? Why do you smoke? Why do you hang out with guys? Why do you dress like that? And when someone from outside your family come in and say you have such a respectable child, you know that you feel a little more comfortable with them going out into the world and being who you taught them to be.
Exactly.
Absolutely. We got some calls.
I can also co-sign and say that I know my children.
That's what's up. We
go
got
ahead.
Some calls.
Hey,
I want to
just know that
my
I think
mom
my mom thought she knew me too.
I'm sorry?
I just want to know that I think my mom thought that she knew me as well.
My mother did, too, until I ended up pregnant at 13 because she wasn't talking
exactly.
to me. My mother thought she knew
exactly.
me, too. And I had to make sure that I did not make that mistake. You know what I'm saying? She talked at me. She never talked with me. She talked to me. She never sat down and really had a conversation with me. So I made sure that when I had my daughter, I was not going to make that mistake. I wasn't going to talk at her as if she had no type of mind or spirit of her own. I had to talk to her in accordance to who she was, who the person I created. And that's the difference between our parents and how, you know, I try to parent in this day and time.
My mom is from a new generation. She had me at 14, so she talked with me.
Definitely.
But it's a thing in between because I was what you call on paper the good child, respectable, mannerable, straight A, gifted classes. So outwardly, of course,
well,
she always talked to me. But
right, so
did she know her daughter and what I was capable of?
Let me just ask you this, Nicole.
And just please don't answer this question quick or just listen closely to what I'm about to ask you because, like, this is real. You saying your mother thought she knew you too. Is it that your mother thought she knew you or that you put up a perception to the point of, like you said, you was the good girl at school. So when someone said, yo, she did this. It was something that your mother didn't know you to do. So when she said, yo, my daughter wouldn't do that. And then she probably asked you, like, yo, did you do that? And your answer was no. Did she really know you or were you lying? Like, if she...
The point is that she knew my character, but only to a certain extent, because I did what I did, and she saw what she saw, and it was meant for her to see what she saw. You know, on my
regard.
Truth be told, kids spend their days trying to get around their parents. Most kids. I'm not going to say 100% because Needy got this angel she has, but 99%
that's not true.
Listen to me. 99%
of kids look up to their parents. Let me get over on mom and dad.
Let me elaborate. It could be something as small as getting the last cookie off the jar or breaking curfew. You understand what I'm saying? The kids spend their days trying to figure out a way to get over on mommy and daddy. That's just how it goes.
Let's just take this caller real quick. There's three callers. I see all y'all. I'm going to get y'all. 323-243. Good evening. You're live.
Yo, what's good? This is Godfather.
Hey, Godfather.
What's good with you?
Hey, Godfather.
DC,
what's good, baby? How you?
Let me put that out there first of all. Let me say this. I love this conversation. I didn't catch it from the beginning, but I love the passion in the conversation. This is a very important conversation. And before I go any further, I want to take my hat off to Nene and Tony because it sounds like you guys are all saying the same thing. I think this is an important conversation, but one that also the men on the panel, your views are very important. Women are a little more defensive about this kind of situation, and I think, you know, each time I hear, you know, it's my child this, my child that, as opposed to talking about children today, right? And I think that's the important point, because otherwise it sounds like an attack, and that's why the women are coming off as defensive. I get that. But I think it's very important, especially when it comes to women, that you hear the opinions of men, because oftentimes young women do not have the input of men, and that's a very important point, right?
True.
But now, you know, we can't go looking for our future in our past. And that's, I think, when the kids disassociate themselves. When we talk about, I mean, when I was growing up this, I was going, kids instantly shut down. The mind has closed. It's like, look, dude, I can't live in them days. I can't rewind my life. Today is what I'm dealing with, and this is what it is. Either you're on board or you're not, right? So, but input definitely equals output. What we give our child is what they have to give to the world. So I think what I heard from both Tony and Nene, regardless of the approach that was taken, they each took the time to instill something in their children. Very important point, okay? So right there, now, having said that, I think, you know, I heard Aaron say something about, you know, how the media this and the media that. That was an important discussion to have, but understand this. We are the new media. See, in the last 15 years, we have captured the attention of the youth. We have sold them the entertainment, right? And now it's time that we start to educate, which is, in fact, one of the reasons why the very first book I put out was a self-help book. We need to do more with nonfiction. We need to take that opportunity while we have these kids' attention, while they're actually reading, which is a beautiful thing, and start to lace our story with the messages of importance and not condemn them for what they're doing. I'm not going to talk bad about twerking. Twerking is what it is. Hey, back in the days, it was doing the freak, right? Look at her, man, she moves as hell. Whatever it is that's happening at the time is going to be judged for what it is. The point is, I'm going to embrace twerking for what it is. Hey, it's cute as a motherfucker, but check this out, baby girl. Let me show you something. You know, it's like I talk about one situation. For instance, the second chapter in my book, Everything She Should Know, I talk about the dress code. What women see as cute or attractive, men judge. We judge a book by its cover. We all do. We all say we don't, but we all do. That's why we show book covers, right? That's why the whole conversation happened about the book covers. We all judge by what we see. So the point of the matter is, if I see a woman dressed a certain way, I'm going to approach her a certain way. You feel me? So these are important points. The reason why I say the opinions of men are so important, because then a woman would be like, well, he's stalking me. Why are you getting at me like that? Well, see, you don't understand. A man is responding to what he sees.
Yes.
We're animalistic in nature, right? So, yeah, I think this is a very important conversation. I just wanted to chime in and
I'm glad that you brought that up, because my sister, she's 20. I raised her. She's in going to college. And when she started trying to figure out who she was, because, again, I kept her, you know, with me, and she's seeing different styles and different things, and she's like, I don't really know how to dress, how I want to do different things. And I told her, she put on something, I said, don't wear that. And she was confused as to why I'm trying not to let her be hip. And I told her, you might not be a hoe, but that's a hoe uniform. And somebody has left behind some characteristics on them clothes that will make a man approach you, because usually women who have that on have had a certain character. Now, they're not going to find out that you are a student, that you are an honor roll student, that you got scholarships. They're not going to find that out until after they finish trying to see what's up underneath some clothes. So you're absolutely, you know, correct about that, about how men think, and women need to hear that. You know what I'm saying? Every outfit that's hoochie cool is not turning a man on, because you got on the, you know what I'm saying, the less as possible. So definitely the young girls need to hear that.
I have a question for everyone.
Go ahead.
I hear y'all talking about the youth, and my thing is, my standpoint is a little different, because I guess maybe my background and what I see around me. And how do you appeal to, it's easier to appeal to the impressionable girls that have been brought up the right way. But how do you appeal to the people that don't want to receive this information, that don't want to listen to these type of things, you know, like self-help books? I know about 50 young girls I can step outside right now, ask them, do you want to hear or read a self-help book? And they're going to say, hell no. So,
you know how you do it.
It's
all in the package.
You
change your whole approach. What you do is you stop trying to go give them what you're trying to give them and see what they're looking for. And once you find out what they're looking for, then you'll know how to deal with them. See, that's what you got to do. You can't try to take them what you're giving them because we already well aware they don't want that. So instead of saying, hey, do you want to do this? Be like, hey, what do you want to do? What is it that you desire? Find out what's really going on with them. And once you do that, you can establish the type of conversation you need to have with them.
And you can't talk at them. You have to talk with them. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have to make it seem like you definitely been where they are, and you have to talk with them. Like, when I mentor the high school students and stuff, I sit down and talk with them. I had a young girl who had she had had sex with a young boy. His sister saw it. She came to the school the next day, told it. She had a, her reputation was in garbage. And, you know, she tried to tell everybody she was raped, she was drugged. She, I said, you know, I just had to sit down and really be honest with her and make her be honest with herself. You know what I'm saying? And talk with her. You know what I'm saying?
Hey,
talk with her.
I only got a couple of minutes. I really got to go, but I want to respond to that since I'm one who's actually, this is Arthur Godfather again. And I've actually written a book. It's called Everything She Should Know, which is a self-help book. And so to address that, Nikki, I think Aaron hit it right on the head. You have to give them the information so they have it available to them when they're ready for it and when they have the question, right? Like the way I wrote this book, right, it's a book that maybe, you know, if you were reading it and your daughter was reading it at the same time, there's, I talk about stuff. I talk about anal sex. I talk about how to carry yourself. I get into the games that men play. You know, you can't talk to a girl about being pregnant after she shows up pregnant. You can't talk to her about a pimp after she's already met one, right?
Yeah.
So the information has to be available to her when she's ready. And let's be honest, a lot of kids aren't coming to the parents, right? So it, I think, but the other caller, I didn't catch your name, but he said the packaging. The packaging is important, and that's why I said we can point the finger at the media all we want. We are our media. Our children read our books more than they read the news. Or more they watch the news. So what I'm saying is we have to take the responsibility, and like you said, the packaging, incorporate it in the story, right? If it's two women in the story and he's attracted to one for one reason, but it's like, okay, we go to the club, for instance. When I go to the club, I'm looking for something to lay down tonight. That's what I'm there for. I'm not there to find wifey, right? And so you incorporate that kind of story in the story, whereas he might meet a classy type woman or something that appears to be classy. He'll get her number and get back at her later in the third. He's not hot on her tonight. That's not what he's there for tonight. See, and you show situations like this in the story and helps the young woman to see it. You know, experience is something that goes on in the mind. We have their attention. So like you said, no, you can't go down there and say, hey, you want to read a self-help book? You want to change your life? Man, kids ain't hearing that. You know, but you, like I said, this book I wrote, I said she can give it to girls by the age of 13. That way she has it on her shelf, and that way if she reads something that she disagrees with, or you read a chapter you disagree with, you can say, baby girl, did you read chapter 4 yet? And she can say yes or no, and it's a discussion starts to happen. Now she gets to hear where you're at and where she's at. The important point that Mimi made earlier is that talking about input. Well, see, one thing for sure, Mimi is very outspoken. She's very direct. She's very outspoken. And even these shows, this gives her child a chance to hear how Mimi thinks. And trust me, kids are listening. Even when they're at the line, they're listening, they're watching, they're seeing.
Yeah.
So input is definitely important. But give them information so that they have it when they're ready for it, so that they can ask you the questions without you trying to come to them and tell them what you think they need to hear.
Absolutely.
That's all I got.
Thank you, Godfather. We appreciate it.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Salute. 409. Powerful. 409.
You're
live. You can't hear
Hello?
You in the clubhouse. I think they went
409.
Away. I still be on hold. Put them back on hold, Aaron. Go to
2-1. Okay. Oh, was that them? 409?
Nope. 409?
Hello.
Okay.
All right, 240.
Hello, everyone. This is Papaya.
Hey, Papaya. How are you?
Hey. First, I want to go back. The first author that was on the show today, I came in late. I heard that y'all talking, but I didn't get his name, so I was wondering what was his name.
Rumon TK?
Mm-hmm. TK?
Yes.
Yeah, first name is Rumon.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then the second thing, I agree with Nene and Miss Tony. Like, I have two boys. They 6 years apart. One's about to be 20, and the other one's about to be 13. I look through their stuff. They don't know that I look through their stuff, but I do. We have conversations, and I listen to them, and I allow them to express themselves because you have to keep an open communication with your kids. Like, my parents had 7 kids, all girls, 1 boy, and we were sheltered. My father was hard on us. We couldn't do nothing. We couldn't even get no summer job. Like, he just, like, focused on school, couldn't go outside after school or nothing. And I didn't want my kids to be like that because my brother, he don't want to work. I call him a duffel bag boy because so far he's just been living off of females, which I don't appreciate that. And I don't want my boys to be like that. I refuse to have them like that. So I am kind of hard on my boys, but not that hard in a sense where they, you know, rebel or do what they want to do either. I'm not going to have that anyway, but I do let them express themselves. Like the 13-year-old, he don't play his Xbox video games so on school days, the weekend. He could do what he want to do. Sometimes I might let him play for 30 minutes during school days or something like that, but he's not on it constantly. So you do have to have structure. You do have to have rules and stuff like that.
Definitely. And they respect it because it's going to be rules in the real world, restrictions, like Aaron said. Like, you go to work, you can't not show up at work. You can't go in without calling. You know what I'm saying? You can't not pass in your work. Nobody's checking on you when you're in college. So if you don't set up those restrictions and boundaries and let them know that those things are out there, they walk into the world thinking that it's their oyster. And when they get disappointed, they be right back at your door with the duffel bag like you just said.
Yeah, the duffel bag bullies. Yes, I refuse. My kids would not be like that. I'm sorry.
No, so definitely. Thank you so much, Papaya, for contributing to our conversation. We appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Papaya,
for listening. You all have a good night.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, good night. 937-313.
Hi, family.
Hi, how are
Hello.
You?
Hello. How you doing,
Hi,
Stacey?
Hi, Stacey Johnson Leonard. You already know. You know. Hi, Archer. I didn't catch your name because she came in late. She didn't get on till 8 o'clock.
We have Nicole Jackson. She's off of G Street Chronicles with her new title, Promiscuous Girls. And then we have Rumont TK off of Wahida Clark Presents Publishing with Venom in My Veins. Go ahead, Stacey.
Yo. You said Nicole Jackson?
Yes.
I'm sorry, Ms. Jackson. Ooh, I'm sorry. Okay. I'm a Jackson, too. Somewhere along the line, my dad's last name. But anywho, the dialogue and everything, you know, that's being spoken about. You know, I've told you, Ms. Nene, in inbox conversations, I really, really, really appreciate y'all's show because it's not just, you know, it's not just entertainment. It's not just a bunch of artists or people just getting together just talking. Y'all talking about real life issues. And there are people that are listening that are being helped. And they're being challenged with what you're saying. Aaron, I really appreciate you, sir. You are such a philosopher, and I would call you a professor because you like to, you know, make people think. They might not agree with what you say, but they understand it. They can appreciate it. As far as the children go, I have 4 of them. My oldest 2 were raised different than my younger 2. My older 2, I was a whole lot more harder with them. I talked with them about sex at age 7, both of them. My younger 2 are 8 and about to be 7. They are nowhere near ready for the sex conversation. They're not. So I know that parenting, you never stop being a parent. From the time you have your first child, you're a parent to the day you die. Even when they move out and get married, you're still going to always be a parent. The best thing you can do with any children is communicate. Just like in any other type of relationship, you communicate. You communicate. I'm none of my children's friends. I'm friendly with them, which means they can come and talk to me.
Yes.
I'm not their friend. I will never be their friend. I'm their mama.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. But I'm friendly with them. So come and sit down. Let's have a conversation. If my daughter comes home and she tells me about, she'll say, well, Mom, let me tell you what happened at school. You know, and she'll talk, and then she might start trying to talk to me like I'm a friend. I say, hold on, wait. Remember, you're talking to Mama. Now, just watch yourself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love the whole, you know, the boundaries and rules and regulations. Yes, because it teaches them reality, real life, how it's going to be. You know, when they're at home, yes, they do have some restrictions and some boundaries, but you have, like Aaron said, you have way more when you get out in the real world.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Because you can't, it's hard to talk your way. When you're at home, you can talk your way out of stuff with your parents. When you get out there in the real world,
they don't
you
love you.
For something that you did, you can't talk your way out of that.
They don't love you out in the real world. It don't even got to be a jail situation. It could just be something simply as you're just dealing with someone who has no real care, interest, or love for you.
Mm-hmm. attacking folks. Like, the world is just getting so cruel and cold. So you definitely have to set them up for success and not failure. Have real conversations and, like Stacey just said, communicate. Communicate. Thank you, Stacey. We appreciate your contribution.
Yes,
I appreciate it. Love y'all too.
Yes,
have a great evening.
I'm going to try you one more time. 409-338.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. You all have like talked past my point. I pressed one when I don't know the guy's name, but when he said that our generation, I'm 24, so our generation is like uneducated.
Mm-hmm. That was probably me. I probably said that I said that you're a bunch of know-it-alls with no answers. I think I said
uneducated was used though. Uneducated was used, but
okay.
My thing. Okay. My point is that our generation, half of our generation, because I'm not part of the part that I'm talking about, but are a lot of people who are lost, like Nicole Jackson said, with lost parents. A lot of the issues with our generation are the problems that their parents faced. Their parents, they didn't amount to anything. They didn't do anything with their lives, so they don't expect their kids to do anything. They don't push their kids to do anything. I see so many people who get pregnant and then their parents are like, hey, get this type of, go get WIC, go get housing, go get this, go get that. Not, okay, I'm going to help you. I still want you to go to school. I still want you to amount to something. It's our generation, the way that we are, it's our parents, that generation, it's their fault.
You know what? I'm going to tell you something funny, right? And we only got a couple of minutes left, so let me hurry up and try to tell you this, because I almost was stomped with that same thing, but I'm such a thinker. I almost was caught with that same thing that you're talking about right now. But I was like, yo, man, you know, this generation, right, like, they had it hard because of the parents, and the parents was on drugs, and this, and I started, I was almost caught, it almost had me until I started thinking about, hold on a goddamn minute. Grandmother and mother was out there facing racism and shit. That can't be no harder than crack. So I had to really come to the realization that nah, it ain't that. It's just that the kids themselves, like how the ones that were in my age group, we have the ones that went to college and Harvard and went on and did some great things, and then we have the ones that stayed around the projects and never did nothing. It was just those choices. That's all it was, simply. It wasn't because of the crack, and it wasn't because the white man wasn't giving out no jobs, because it was just both. It was hard times all the way around.
Right. Mm-hmm. I disagree.
Who's that?
With actual facts?
This is Nicole.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm telling you this because I see it every day.
Mm-hmm.
You have situations where people do make choices, but then you have things where there are no choices made by the children. You have to have a fighting chance in certain situations.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you say, okay, you went to school, but you didn't further your education, how about a 5-year-old that's not even enrolled in school yet because their parents
didn't do so. How about when they get in school, they're 2-3 years behind. They never catch up.
Mm-hmm.
You have to think about if.
But
if
that was still going on when my grandmother was facing racism. Because she couldn't even take me up to the school because she couldn't fill out the paperwork because she was too illiterate.
That's not mistaken. They, you know, everybody faces obstacles. And yes, that was messed up back then. But what I'm saying is, everybody is not faced with the same opportunities in life. I had a mother that had me young, but she wanted better for me. She made sure that I went to school, although she didn't graduate. What about the parents that don't care?
And there's a lot of them.
Yeah, what about those children?
Everyone that's on this panel right now, the way that you all are talking, I can tell that you are good parents. But there's, 5-6 people on this panel? There's a lot of people out there that are not good parents. Take my mom, for example. She had me at 19, but she was one of those people that y'all write about in the book. She was one of those people that was out there, boyfriend with drugs, a drug dealer, going in and out of jail. You know, she went to prison for 4 years, but my dad came and got me from Dallas and was like, you know what, that's not going to be your life. That's not going to be your brother's life. I'm going to raise you. So there's a lot of people who don't have that. There's a lot of parents who don't go to the schools. There's a lot of parents who don't check on their kids. And like I said, there's a lot of parents who, because they didn't do anything with their life, they expect the same thing out of their kids, which is nothing. And that's the issue. You guys might not know that or see that because you're not like that. Maybe you didn't have parents like that, but that's real. That's out there. Now, I didn't have it, so therefore I'm not one of these uneducated younger generations that you speak of, but there's a lot of that. And the reason is the generation before us, whether or not those people, our ancestors, you know, the people in the 60s marched and had their civil rights issues, there's still a generation in between there that's before us. That is a problem. Mm-hmm. They are the problem. These people who don't get out of the project, the people who priorities are in disarray, the people who would rather spend money on clothes and to make themselves look better instead of spending money on a better place to stay for their kids in a better neighborhood or, you know, if they can afford it in a better neighborhood, that is an issue. Media, like you all were saying, media is an issue. Rap is an issue. You know, people get on TV and they want to talk about, you know, drugs and killing people and degrading women and all that. That's an issue. So we have a lot
You're
of things
right.
that are,
but I
that
really
are against
wanna...
us. And that y'all didn't have, and our other people didn't have. Like, we have a lot of things that are against us, the internet,
but nowhere near,
nowhere near what
people were dealing with back in the days. Like, I really had to sit down and think about that. Do you know that the Chicago riots started because a black kid swimmed in the wrong part of the white area of the pool?
Yeah,
like a whole riot started.
Yeah, that's horrible.
Like, while a black man would get beat and burned and hanged for going to look for work in a certain neighborhood to feed his family. Y'all not dealing with that now. So I really had to sit down because for a minute y'all almost had me. Like, I was sitting back and I was like, yo, you know, these kids, parents was out there on crack, leaving them like, that's, man, this man. And then I really had to start thinking, like, what was really going, like, no, that's not going to be the excuse. I can't put the stamp
but
on that because
definitely we have parents that were on crack in public. That's not the issue. The issue is not that we have parents that are on crack. The issue is that we have parents that aren't parenting, point blank and period. They don't have to be on something to not be parenting. The point is that they're not doing it, point blank and period.
No, then you're right. I believe that they aren't parenting, definitely aren't parenting. But, like, you know, that particular hole was that generation's hole, Aaron. So I understand what you're saying, that those times may be tougher, but I can also understand what this generation says when they say, well, we weren't there for that. These right here are our obstacles. You know what I'm saying? Like, that they don't have the obstacles are different, but they're still obstacles for them within their experience, within their intelligence, within their time frame in life, period. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, it is a different type of generation. I even noticed from having a child in the 2000s versus the children from the 90s. Like, the whole mentality, and like I said, my child is not outside, but the whole mentality of children is different. This whole generation is a different generation of thinkers. So, you know, we've had some really good conversation tonight in the clubhouse. We thank you all, the callers, our authors, Ruma, TK, we thank you for coming in and contributing. It has been an honor.
And please promote y'all books one more time before y'all leave.
Yes, please. Thank you, Paula.
I have 8 books out there. So you check me out on Amazon.com. And with Promiscuous Girl, it's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, iTunes. And be looking for some real urban lit, not the same old recycled and generic work. You got to check out your girl.
All right. Holla at that G-Street Chronicles. And go ahead, Rumont, please tell them where they can get your work.
Yo, how can I come behind that? Good stuff, Nicole, salute. My book is called Venom in My Veins, as NeNe mentioned a few times. It's under Wahida Clark Presents Publishing. You can get it.
Absolutely. I'm on 2 houses. I got both my houses on here. Go ahead. Sorry.
No doubt. That's cool. And you can purchase this this novel wherever books are sold, so Amazon, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes.
Venom
please,
in My Veins.
Yes. When click that Venom in My Veins, and go ahead, say your title again, your recent title, Miss
Promiscuous Girl.
Yes, and they loving that out there, too.
Yes, we had a wonderful night, wonderful conversation. Shout out to Godfather, shout out to Papaya, and our other callers. That's the D.C. area. Godfather listening all the way from the West Coast. Our call log was large. Our people in the chat room, thank you for chatting and tuning in.
And don't
in.
Forget to Marble, special show.
Ooh.
We will be on the Mac Mama Show. The Mac is back. We'll be NeNe Capri.
Yes.
George Sherman, Black, and myself.
Yes.
Speak about a few things that's been going on. Clear the air. And
yes.
It's going to be amazing. Y'all got to be there.
Yes. And we thank everybody for coming out. And please join us again. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Yes. Good night.
To the show, Beat. Drop that. Beat, Aaron.